This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Survivor 48 is here. And after every episode, dig deep into the show with On Fire, the official Survivor podcast. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
Back here on Fesco and Dusty on 96.5, The Fan, just doing some off-the-air conversations. Looks like Wimby made $24 million with his first 2 years.
Yep. $24 million a year?
No, or 12 and 12.
First
2 years guaranteed, third-year option, fourth-year option. Normally, if you're balling out,
yeah, you're gonna
by the time you get to the third year, the team's like, we're just going to give you a contract.
I heard that conversation yesterday about Jalen Daniels, quite honestly. Like, a guy like that, like, in his third year, I know he's not going into his third year, but if you're going into your third year as a quarterback, do you pay Daniels a little bit early so you don't have to pay him as much, yes, right?
Well,
you buy out a couple of years of his contract,
so
right?
So to have that question in live action, that'd be like, do the Houston Texans pay CJ today?
Yeah, that name came up as well. Mm-hmm. CJ Stroud was kind of how they got to that conversation. Then, I would if I'm Houston.
If you're CJ or if you're Houston?
If I'm Houston. If I'm CJ, I'm thinking, well, let's see what the offer is. Let's have this kind of conversation. You know, they kind of did that with Mahomes. They paid him, obviously, early before they needed to pay.
Year three.
Patrick, which is CJ Stroud going into year three.
But to be fair, Mahomes didn't play his rookie season.
That's exactly right.
So he just did it right.
Yeah.
Like, he did 50 and 5,000, then did another ball in year and said, what do you guys think?
Right.
Because I'll let you know what I know, and then you just tell me, and then that's when the check comes out. It's like, just we'll put a number, and we'll
But they
we'll
also had a willing participant with Patrick Mahomes as well, too.
Yeah.
I mean, like, Mahomes wants to be here, obviously wants to create that legacy here, and he was willing to do what it took because he's following in the footsteps of Tom Brady. Whether you want to admit it or not, Tom Brady always took less money. Patrick Mahomes is taking less. I mean, what's Dak's salary cap hit this year? $89.9 million, twice of what Patrick Mahomes is making.
I thought it was 90.
Yeah. Twice of what Patrick Mahomes is going to make this year at $45 million. Dak is on the hook for 90. Yeah.
Quick research. Sorry to do this to you. What do you think Cooper Flagg's NIL money is? Over or under $9.5 million?
Under, I'm going to say.
Because he's the first athlete to be NIL'd by Gatorade.
Yeah, I think he's going to be under because I thought that kid that's getting $7 million from BYU kind of set the record for the most. I could be totally wrong about that, but that just stands out in my mind. I think Cooper Flagg is probably a little bit less than that.
Double-digit sounds like quarterback money.
Yeah, but have we even seen anybody get double-digit money yet on the football side of things? I don't know.
Sure.
Did he?
He made like more than $10 million, didn't he?
Okay.
He was the number one in NIL in football.
I don't know. We'll probably look it up and we'll all be like, oh, that's all they make in the NIL. So, yeah, if you're Cooper Flagg, you decide to go because you
value $3.3 million
for
Cooper Flagg.
So there you go.
And he's number one in college basketball.
There you go. So that's why I said I thought that $7 million was kind of a key thing for that kid that's going to BYU next year.
Yeah, Shedeur Sanders, $4.7 million.
Yeah,
oh, wow,
so
the
numbers aren't as big as we thought, right?
No, they're not.
And so there's
What did Arch Manning make? I think he was actually number one.
Did he make big bucks?
I think so. He got like a ton of money.
And $4 million.
6.6.
Jeez.
6.6 for a guy who hasn't played.
Yeah, but $6.6 million for that, brilliant. Take the money and run, right?
Yeah.
But now if you're Cooper Flagg and you're thinking about do I stay for $4 million or do I go for $25 million that's going to be guaranteed, I'm taking the $25 million guaranteed money. I don't care if it's in Portland or where it is. That is good time money for you to get. And so you got to go ahead and do that. And that's the business side of sports now. I mean, that's where we're living. I told you guys earlier, I was talking to a guy yesterday at the J, my man Vic, and he's like, I don't understand this kid from Missouri that's hitting all these threes that went to Iowa State. He grew up in Wichita. How did he get out of Kansas? I'm like, money. It's dollars. Like, guys aren't staying at home and staying in state because they want to be a Jayhawk or a Wildcat. They're going to see they want to be a Benjamin. They want to go where the dollars are, man.
Texan gave up what they're giving up on Fat Tuesday. They're giving up. They want me to give up golf analogies.
Okay.
And then I'd give up listening to Dusty.
Wow. All right.
And then they said Costco gas is $2.65.
Okay.
Or you can use your Hy-Vee points.
Yeah, use your Hy-Vee points. Yeah, and stock up there. Get your gas points at Hy-Vee and get it down even below that. You save up those Hy-Vee gas points, my man. I'll tell you what, you can get that thing to roll back like a dollar. Woo, baby!
Respect the text from the 620. Carson Beck in Miami got $4 million and a Cavender twin.
Fair point.
Winning.
Fair point. That is winning. But for some of those guys like Carson Beck, do you guys envision him as an NFL player?
No. And
be honest with me.
Because you want to do another lunch?
Yeah.
Six months ago, you didn't think Jackson Dart would be in a top 10 pick.
Yeah. But no,
I don't think he will be a top
Carson
10 pick.
Carson Beck will be a top three round pick.
Top three round pick next year. Okay. So, yeah, you go back to Miami. You take that money. You do your thing down in college.
What if he goes to Miami and has a decent year?
Yeah, but he was
the number one quarterback going into this season.
Last season, right?
Yeah.
But who knows? Change of scenery could be great for everybody. It's like, you know, any professional athlete, sometimes a change of scenery is really good. You know, for guys like that, you see those fringe guys on baseball teams that have no options left. You say, all right, we'll trade for this guy. We'll throw some cash your way. You give us him. Just kind of a change of scenery type trade, which essentially is what that, you know, the Jeremy Guthrie trade was for Jonathan Sanchez years ago. That was just a change of scenery trade. Ended up working out great for Kansas City and not great for Colorado, but that was a change of scenery type trade, and it worked out well. So sometimes you need to just make those moves just to give somebody an extra opportunity to kind of catch their breath, reset a little bit, and maybe Carson Beck missed one of the Cavender twins when he was at Georgia and decided, you know, I need to go to Miami, be close to my girl, and then he's going to play better.
Yeah, I mean, every second I was away from her, I'd miss her.
Yeah, I mean, how much better has Mac gotten since his girl moved to town? I mean, it's night and day.
Pasta Lord. The 2013 NFL draft considered the worst NFL draft in the history of NFL drafts, correct?
That's what we're saying, right?
That's what Mac spewed out yesterday.
Yes.
And we started to look at it. We're like, all right, what did we get in the 2013 draft from a Kansas City Chiefs perspective?
Eric Fisher was our number one pick that year. Eric Fisher was the number one pick, and there was one other person taken in the first round that you could have even made a case that they should have taken over Eric Fisher, and that was Lane Johnson, who came in at number four to the Philadelphia Eagles, right?
I mean, solid dude.
People talk about that draft, and I mean, like, why couldn't we do better than Eric Fisher? Because there really wasn't anybody better than Eric Fisher in that draft other than Lane Johnson.
Luke Jokel was in that draft.
Yep.
Bust.
Yep. Do you know who the third overall pick was in the 2013 draft?
No chance.
Deion Jordan, Miami Dolphins. The only reason I know is because I'm looking at it. I don't even know who that is.
Michael's son. One of the seven. That's Jimmy Butler, that guy, Anthony Edwards.
Right.
And then in the third round, there was a pretty good player taken by the Chiefs.
Right. Travis Kelce. Travis Kelce. Like, the 2013 draft was legitimately one of the worst we've ever seen, and the Chiefs got Eric Fisher and Travis Kelce out of that draft. And when we talked to Binkley about this, Mike Catapano came from that draft. And you know what Mike Catapano turned into? Charvarius Ward.
So three solid players out of that draft developed for the Kansas City Chiefs.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. It's a pretty good draft, right?
The last best left tackle you had.
Right.
The best tight end in the history of the NFL.
Right.
And a quarterback that you won a Super Bowl with and then didn't have to sign and then beat him with the game-winning touchdown right in front of his face.
That's exactly right.
Brutal.
Pretty good run there for Kansas City in 2013. But, I mean, some of these names, like Star Lotulelei.
I remember him.
You remember that name? We were all talking. Oh, the Chiefs should probably look at drafting.
Is he dead now? Or is he in jail?
What?
Something happened. Something drastic happened to him.
Did it? Oh, my God. I don't know.
Something. I'm pretty sure he's either in jail or dead.
Oh, okay.
Tell me I'm wrong, please.
You may be wrong about that. Justin Reed's brother Eric was drafted 18th to San Francisco that year. DeAndre Hopkins, 27th to Houston that year.
Straight out of Clemson.
That's right. Cordarrelle Patterson went 29 to the Minnesota Vikings, the Minnetonka Vikings.
You know
there.
What? I'm going to give a little credit to Cordarrelle Patterson because that guy kind of made it throughout the NFL. He had that like random 2-year stint with the Falcons where they made him like a running back.
Yeah.
And he was a good returner. And then he went to a couple other teams. He was all right.
29th overall pick, though. I mean, if that's a guy you find in the third round, you're like, that's a good pick.
Definitely did not.
He was great in college, though. You got to think about
it. Of course,
like,
where'd he go?
Yeah.
he really was good.
And then Matt Elam was the 32nd pick that year in the draft. Alec Ogletree was also taken by the Rams. How the Rams were picking 30 that year, I have no idea.
There's only one quarterback?
I think there's one quarterback. I'm trying to think who.
Chiefs didn't take one.
Because there wasn't one. That was the year Josh wanted Geno Smith as the quarterback, right? But who else were you going to take that year? It was kind of like this year's quarterback draft, right? There really isn't that number one guy that's coming out that's worth taking, you know, in the first round this year. Who was the quarterback taken?
EJ Manuel.
Oh, my God. That's right. EJ Manuel.
Yeah.
Who, he played for Florida State or no, Clemson or some school. Right. He played for a college. I know that.
I guess it was Junior Siavi who's in jail.
Yeah, that guy. Oh, my God. He's dead.
Sorry to Star.
Yeah.
No, still
alive. Yeah. Star Lele. Yeah, okay. You're doing well. Yeah.
Junior Siavi is dead. He
Florida State. Nice pull.
Yeah. It was Florida State,
nice
right?
Pull.
Yeah. He was a guy that I'll never forget when they drafted Junior Siavi, and they had him at training camp at River Falls, and there's like four reporters there.
He's a big dude, right?
Wasn't he? The story gets really good, okay? You want to pop down the music for this one, right? And so they draft him. And back in those days, Carl Peterson used to basically love to fight and spar with the agents about getting guys in the camp. And they never signed anybody on time, right? It was always one of those deals where, you know, we're not going to get the guy in camp. Is he going to be signed? They're not. And it never worked, right? And so they finally get this guy signed, and they bring him in. And Bob Moore, who was the PR guy at the time, one of the great humans of all time, is like, all right, you guys are going to interview this guy. We just signed him. Here he is. And boom. And it's just like four reporters standing. You know, it's nothing big outside of a cafeteria. Outside, it's a nice day. Birds are chirping. This guy was so scared of the media. I've never seen anything like it in my entire life. He was like just... I couldn't answer the questions. Didn't know what to do.
Like Ricky Bobby?
No, like just totally like there was like nothing going on or something. I don't even know how to
do my hands.
Right. But it wasn't even like that. It was just like, oh, my God, this guy's got issues. Right. And so that year in training camp, there was one night where they all had the night off. And I want to say it was 04-ish. It was definitely Vermeil's year because I believe Lawrence Tynes was involved in one of the incidents or maybe. Yeah, I think it was Tynes at the time.
Sounds about right.
There were three incidents that took place in the Minneapolis area that night with Chiefs players. There was something that took place in Stillwater, Minnesota. There was a bar altercation there. There was a bar altercation in downtown River Falls.
Is this when Lesnar was there?
No.
Okay,
no,
this is after?
This was like Brock Lesnar was with the Vikings, right? Mm-hmm. And that's when he beat up Dante Hall. This was not the same year, don't think. And then there was an incident at Bozeman Mine on downtown River Falls. And then there was an incident at like a Marriott in downtown Minneapolis. And that's where Junior Siavi comes into this. This guy was in this hotel with a couple of other Chiefs, and I don't remember who they were. And they were basically like taking the hotel furniture and just destroying it, like just beating it over the wall and shattering hotel furniture, like in the lobby. And so this guy was so big, the cops couldn't get him down. And so it was the first time I'd ever heard of the term a spit hood. I don't know if you guys have ever are familiar with a spit hood. This guy, Siavi.
I got many thoughts on what that could possibly be.
Was like he was so spitting all over the cops as they were trying to wrestle. So they put this hood over his head that they call a spit hood.
Yeah, they do those in Con Air.
Oh my gosh.
And so that was Junior Siavi in a spit hood.
They Hannibal Lectured him.
Pretty much, yeah, though they pretty much did, yeah, and he never really did anything.
No, those are, I always used to watch, what was it, like Jail, or whatever that show was. It was on like at 9 o'clock at night on like AMC, where they would just like have like, it was like Cops, but like the Hustler version, like it's a little more risque, and they'd have guys that would go in there and spit, and they'd put like the little like mesh bag over the
face. That's exactly what it was. Oh, so yeah. I want to say Greg Wesley may have been part of something that night. I think Lawrence Tynes was Greg on the team Wesley. That year, and it was Bozeman Mine. If you go back and look all that up, like it was like an August 3rd of like 03 or 04, and there were three incidents that took place on that off day. I don't think many people were happy the next morning.
What was that secondary? Greg Wesley, Eric Warfield, William Barty. God, no one ever get 40 points a game.
Yeah. Exactly. But, I mean, you didn't have anybody getting to the quarterback because Siavi was in a spit hood.
That's kind of intimidating. He had a spit hood, and Laramie Tunsil had a smoke mask.
That's exactly right. Yeah. Who turned out better?
Tunsil.
Yeah, of course he did. Siavi's dead. And, and made good money in the NFL. Siavi never did anything.
That's crazy, though, to think that, because that was the, you know, because I remember I was at, as we were talking about Clancy's last week, I was at Clancy's that year they took Kelce in the third round. Because I remember it was like tied in out of Cincinnati. And then, of course, like, you know how that happens with the NFL draft. Like, as soon as someone's drafted, everybody goes to their Google and starts looking up, like, who this person was.
Right.
Size, stats.
And the two that are always the most, like, polarizing to me was, like, Travis Kelce immediately, like, looking up him. And then when the Chiefs drafted Tyreek Hill, like everyone found out who he was the minute he was drafted. Oh, and like the fan hate was everywhere. And I remember when Kelce was drafted, I was like, all right, this guy's a monster. Oh, he played quarterback in high school. And then it was like, he slipped in the draft because of weed.
That's right. And he was kicked out of the University of Cincinnati. Remember, weed was verboten 10 years ago. Like, if, oh, my God, you were a problem child.
And then that's when, like,
now it's like, here you go.
If you go back and listen or watch the New Heights podcast when they had Andy Reid join way back, like, in their first season, he talks about that whole ordeal where he's like, Jason's like, yeah, Andy called me and was like, can I trust your brother? And can I put your reputation on the line to basically put him on this team? He's like, yeah, my brother's fine. He's a little hothead. And then Andy goes and talks about how he was like, oh, man, this guy was he was a hothead back in the day. I had to, like, you know, check him a couple times. And he's joined the locks. And
I missed it.
Yeah, just a hair lord.
Yeah.
And
had to readjust.
Yeah. So and I remember listening to that. And I'm like, all right, cool. And then I, like, go back in time when I think about whenever I was at the bar, like, looking up Travis Kelce, like, 2013 draft, and I was like, this guy might be all right. And then we watched the career happen. It's like, he's much better than all right.
I mean, I just, and I know I say
this
a lot.
Because he was the next after Tony G. Yeah. Like, those were the shoes he had to fill.
Well, Tony Moyaki. Let's not forget Tony Moyaki had that one catch in the back of the end zone.
One of the greatest Chiefs catches of all time.
San
Francisco, opening weekend, middle of the end zone, stretched out.
Rookie year, you're like, oh my God, they got Tony G's replacement. That was the last.
He was the first Iowa tight. Was he Iowa?
Yeah, oh yeah, he's an Iowa kid,
he was Iowa tight end number one. Yeah. And then it was Kittle, and then it was Laporta, and then it was all these guys.
It kind of was.
Noah Fant.
Yeah, it was. He was the worst of the bunch, right?
Damn it.
And he had that one play, and we're still waiting for Tony Moyaki to make.
If a catch has ever sold you, that one had
that
to have sold.
That one was
incredible. Nobody
though.
That day was like, hey, he got lucky. Let's see what he can do the rest of his career. Right. Everyone was like, there's like that's the Leo meme. That's the guy.
You know how many Moyaki jerseys were sold after that catch?
Like, one of my buddies named Darren bought it.
You still see people with Moyaki jerseys rolling the parking lots, man. I still see those jerseys. I'm like, man, you got suckered in on that one catch. We all did. And then Tony Moyaki never really amounted to obviously anything. But the Travis Kelce thing, I mean, I say it all the time. Andy Reid probably affected his career and life more than any other player in the entire NFL. Now, Michael Vick may have a conversation about that because Andy Reid, you know, went and visited him in jail and brought him out and gave him that second opportunity. But Andy Reid stuck with Travis Kelce when he very well could have cut him from being a hothead, as he said. I mean, Andy Reid was this close. We talk about it all the time. This close to say, Travis, you're done. And Travis finally allowed Andy Reid to kind of be his mentor, if you will, and followed what Andy Reid said, and he's blossomed into the best tight end ever. It's one of the great career arcs that we've ever seen in the NFL.
I think Travis Kelce is a name that comes up in this next topic because the Chiefs are $17.6 million over the cap. They have to be under that in 8 days.
They'll get there.
Does the Mahomes and Kelce reconfiguration contract happen, or is there other ways to get around?
Well, I don't know exactly the ins and outs of the funny money and how that all works, but this is probably something that is going to happen. I'm reading something that they may have to convert roster bonuses to signing, but that's money you got to pay out right away. Again, it goes back to why we need the new stadium, why we need more revenue generating, because according to SpotRack, if they convert Patrick Mahomes' roster bonus to a signing bonus, $25.8 million, Clark needs to write that check today. That needs to go right into, that's a Western Union to his account. Chris Jones, $12 million. Travis Kelce, $10 million. So you're talking about 25, 35, 45, 46, 47. Another $10 million bonus for Joe Tooney, 50. So Clark has basically got to get $60 million in checks scratched over the next 8 days to get to where they need to be for salary cap purposes, right? The money that you use for that has got to be real cash. That's not funny money, salary cap money. You got to have that cash on hand. And if you don't have that cash on hand, you can't do those type of deals. Now, I'm sure overall monies for the Hunt family, that's a drop in the bucket. But when you talk about just the Chiefs operation that comes out of that budget, how do we generate more money to have that cash on hand? We sell stadium suites. So that's why it's important to continue to generate as much money as you possibly can for these franchises. So when you get to this point of the year, they've got the cash on hand to make the moves necessary to free up the room so they can go out and make their roster better.
I think this is one of the three times where Brett and Clark sit down 1v1. I think there's this time of the year because this is, I always try to figure out what's his stronger suit, Mr. Veach, and that is his ways that he fluctuates the salary cap and always seems to get it right, or the draft. And obviously some guys get paid more. We're like, do we really need to get that guy much more? But look, three Super Bowls, AFC Championship game every single year. He's doing something right, whether it's better in the draft or whether it's with the contracts, it works. I think he also sits down with him during the trade deadline, and I think he sits down with him before the draft. Mm-hmm. And I think those are the three 1v1 interviews that you have with the big boss.
Do you think they do that on Zoom, or do you think they actually do that person to person, face to face? For sure, Zoom.
Yeah, because one's here.
Yeah, I know, but that's what I'm saying. Like, do you think Clark comes up, or he goes down, or they meet in Oklahoma City for a cocktail or something? I don't know.
Maybe. I mean, or they go to Cincinnati and have a chili flavored ice cream.
They could do that as well, too, which is absolutely disgusting. No, I think you're probably right about that. I don't think there's a lot of overlording, for lack of a better term, with Clark Kent. I think he's got the right people in place, and that's obviously what a leader does. You put the right people in place, you allow them to do their things. But when your leader says, okay, Clark, we need $60 million. Are you cool with that? You probably got to get that stamp of approval, you know, from the owner in order to go out there and spend that money. Yeah. Because again, that is direct deposited money. That is not over time. That is not fake. That is real hard cash that you need to pay these guys in 8 days.
Because all three of those are like major business decisions, right? Like you figure out like who's going to get this money to where we can create space and get underneath the line.
Right.
The other one is, all right, who do we like in the draft that can actually give us a chance to like fill a gap that we need something that we, you know, might think about paying in the future? You look at McDuffie, Karloftis, you know, guys like that. And then you look at, okay, like, hey, we might need a couple guys. Who do we want to go out and who's expendable and who's not?
Right, exactly.
And those are the three times where I think they have their, otherwise it's like, go do what you want to do. I trust you with everything else. But before you do these three big things, let's have a 1v1 combo.
Yeah, and I wonder how much Clark really gets involved with the draft, too. I mean, that's one where if I was the owner of the team, I'd be like, you guys know this more than I do. I'm going to trust you. If you want to talk, we'll talk. I'll give my opinion maybe, but at the end of the day, you guys handle that. I don't know that anybody played for Alcorn State, guys, so you go knock them dead.